Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, welcome to Virgin's Most Powerful Two-Man Car. My name is Jesse Romero, my partner Eddie. Eddie, how are you this morning, partner?
I'm doing well, Jess. I'm reporting for duty, sir, where Catholics tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God.
That's right, like Sergeant Joe Friday, just the facts, just the facts. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we do spiritual warfare, Catholic style, because I know there's a lot of spiritual warfare programs out there on television today, but many of them have half-truths, and some of them are just downright fabrications. And so we're trying to give you the proper teaching as understood by the church founded by Jesus Christ in the last 2,000 years. Eddie, we got a couple things today that I think that are of interest to the audience. The first one, somebody had asked me, they emailed me a question about, and it's a very good question, by the way. They asked me, why is Mary in the litanies of Loretto called Morning Star?
Ooh.
Yep, isn't this a title of Satan? And that's a good question. The first thing I would say is this, is that there are names in the Bible or titles in the Bible attributed to both good guys and bad guys. For example, Jesus is called the Lion, Lion of the Tribe of Judah in Revelation 5:5. The devil's also called a lion in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. So both of them are called lions, but one is so one word can be used in a positive sense, and at the same time, that same word can be used for a good character or a bad character in the negative sense. And so the way I responded specifically to this question is that, yes, in the litanies of Loretto, one of the names of our Blessed Mother is referred to as Morning Star. And the word Morning Star is also applied to other people in the Bible. For St. Jerome, the great scripture scholar, he translated the word morning star into Latin as Lucifer. And the Greek translation from the Hebrew is actually the word phophoros, means light bearer. So that's what morning star means, light bearer. Or in Latin, Lucifer, Greek light bearer. So let's go through some biblical data here. The angels are called morning stars in Job chapter 38, verse 7. Why are they called morning stars? Because they're light bearers. Angels are light bearers, so they're called morning stars. Probably with a small m, we could say. The word morning star is also a title for the devil. In Isaiah chapter 14, verses 11 to 15, where the Lord says, down to Sheol your pomp is brought, the sound of your harps, maggots are the couch beneath your worms, your blanket. How you have fallen from the heavens, O morning star, son of the dawn. So here, why is the devil called morning star? Because he's an angel. That's why, that's what angels are called, light bearers. But the devil was a light bearer once upon a time as a good angel. And so Isaiah acknowledges that. We also find that the word morning star is a title for Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. Jesus is the ultimate light bearer. And we have to remember that in the Bible, for example, the word God and Lord, that reference is also used to talk about false gods, false deities. They're called in the Old Testament God and Lord, obviously with a small g and a small l, with a lowercase g or lowercase l. But just because false deities are called gods and lords in the Old Testament, that doesn't mean that we cannot invoke the true God by these titles, obviously with a capital G and a capital L. So the fact that a particular title is used in one context to describe the devil doesn't preclude that word, light bearer, from being used in a positive manner when applied to Jesus in the Bible and Mary in the litanies. The fact that the devil's called the morning star in Isaiah 14:12, it does not prevent that we use that word or that same title to refer to Jesus or Mary in a positive manner. Eddie?
Yeah, just one of the things we should remember is in Job 38:7, where there's something that happens there where after God has created the world And I want to, because he's answering a question from Job, and this really sheds light on it. It says, while the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, he asked this as a question. He's asking Job, were you there when I created the universe? Were you there when I did this or that? But he says, were you there when all the morning stars sang together? So there was a harmony there. This was before before the Blessed Virgin Mary gave birth to the second person of the Holy Trinity. And this is when all the morning stars sang together. So this is a reference to what you're talking about, Jess. This is something that has both terminologies are valid when we talk about this.
Yeah. And also something kind of interesting, just since we're on this topic, is according to Jewish tradition, and I read this from Dr. Peter Kreis' books, Angels and Demons. He says, according to Jewish tradition, that when God was creating everything out of nothing in the sixth day of creation, well, the first thing that he created were angels on the first day. And at that point, angels were singing throughout the entire creation thereafter. Angels were in the background singing right after God created them. So yeah, I thought that was pretty cool when I read it from Kreis' book.
So that's a good answer, Jess. I mean, that's essentially what we have. So nobody should be shy away. Nobody should shy away.
But that
away.
Was a good question, though. I got to give props to the person that asked. That was a very good question.
Absolutely. There's always a question when titles. And you know, Jess, the Catholic Church throughout history has done that. Has taken pagan holidays and replaced them with sacred. Yeah, they baptize them. So that's the beauty of it. And we have to remember that's part of our church.
Okay. Here's another question, and I went to Father Hugh Barber for this. He's probably one of the greatest Thomistic theologians. He works for Catholic Answers right now. He's their staff priest theologian, but he's a Norbertine, and he's got a PhD in Thomas Aquinas, so he's the go-to guy here in California. And somebody had asked me a question about, Jesse, do demons have emotions? So Father Hugh Barber, I went to him, and he basically answers about angels and demons and God. I love his response. It's Thomistic. He says, so God is the cause of the human nature, which has emotions that always and necessarily flow from our knowledge, which for us is dependent on the senses. Emotions are the impulses that flow from knowledge in a bodily nature. So here's the answer about do angels or demons have emotions. Father Hugh Barber says, without a body, there are no emotions in the strict sense, since emotions are bodily reactions toward or away from the things we sense as good or bad. Thus, neither God nor angels, and I'll throw in there, nor demons, nor the human soul separated from the body in death, properly have emotions. So that's the short answer to that great question. Do angels and demons have emotions?
Yeah, just, you know, one of the things that we have to realize is that at our human death, at each of our deaths, before our final interview, body and soul separate. Therefore, the body will be void of, because that's where all the emotions stem from. It stems from our recollections, our experiences, etc. And so at our death, our soul will be separate from emotions, and we will deal only in fact at that time. Thanks be to God.
At the exit interview, yes. Jesus is just going to say, just the facts. In other words, Eddie, no heat of passion defense. You know, like in courts, you know, people, you know, kill somebody and say, oh, heat of passion, heat of passion. In front of Jesus, when you're there with your soul without your body, guess what? No emotional appeals, no heat of passion, just the facts.
Just the facts. There it is.
The facts. Eddie, what we're going to start doing in the show and fame, we invite anybody, especially first responders out there, cops, firemen, policemen, even guys in the service and stuff. We'd like to start profiling stories of your encounters with the diabolical. In fact, I'm just coming out with a book where I talk about 15 encounters with the devil or the diabolical and witches that I've had. The book is called The Devil in the City of Angels. It comes out the 29th of this month, in 2 weeks from 10. But we want to get other stories from other people, other law enforcement, other guys, other first responders, because we know that everybody out there, in fact, the reason I wrote that book is to start a national conversation. This is happening to all of us, and we're just quiet about it. And we got to start talking it up and start fortifying ourselves with spiritual warfare prayers and spiritual warfare theology. So if you're a first responder out there and you have a story where you've had this encounter with some phenomena that's evil.
And we all have, Jess. We all have.
Yeah.
You cannot be a law enforcement officer in California or any other state.
Write a story.
Exactly. Bring it. Call us.
Eddie, send it to myself. Yeah. Go to my website, jesseromero.com. Send us your story. We want to read it on radio. Okay? In fact, in the next segment, Eddie, there's a cop from New York who listens to us, and he wrote about his story on patrol of his encounter with the diabolical. So that's what we're going to be profiling on the next segment. And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage people. If you but don't give me 10 pages, okay? Give me just a half sheet, you know, your encounters with the diabolical, something that you know is going to build up the body of Christ here. We'll share your pro. If you don't want us to mention your name, we won't. But if you do, we will. This cop has no problem us mentioning his name. So we'll talk about his story in the next segment. Eddie?
Yeah, just, you know, and the listeners are going to realize the kind of stuff that law enforcement officers experience. Now, we have to say, Jess, that even though we all have them, we don't readily recognize them as such when they're happening.
And so, especially when you're not walking with Jesus.
Exactly. Especially if you're in a state of mortal sin, you're not going to notice the enemy because you're in their camp. Yeah. Anyways, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And don't change that dial because you're going to want to hear this next story. Stay with us.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, welcome. Two-man car, we're 10-8. We're on Soul Patrol. Call letters John 3:16. We're giving you some Catholic intel, some Catholic briefings so you can put in your war bag. You can go out there, number one, be holy, and number two, go out there and save souls. That's the mission of the Catholic Church. Eddie, you want to share this listener? This is a cop from New York. He shares a story with us.
Yeah, Jess, let's go over the story and we'll break it down, but let's read through it all the way through once because it's very impactful and I want people to hear it. He talks about he works for a sheriff's office in upstate New York. He's been on the job for 15 years, and he talks about one spring night where he was assigned to a small town, approximately 25,000 people, and it was between 4:30 and 5 a.m. in the morning when he received a call of a suspicious person at the local Starbucks. Starbucks is in a commercial district area, sits in a particular way, between the roadway. But the Starbucks employee stated that while attempting to get inside the building from a locked door while the employees were setting up for the store's opening. When asked by the employee what he wanted, the male...
It was a white male, it says here.
White male. Yeah. What he wanted, he said, I left some... This is what the suspicious male tells a Starbucks employee before the police get here. So he says, I left something inside and I need to get it. He rattled the door some more and then the employees lost sight of him. It was probably 3 or 4 minutes. He was probably 3 or 4 minutes from the Starbucks. The officer was talking to another police officer in a patrol car. So there was two guys about 4:35 in the morning, just before the end of the shift, sitting there talking to each other. He says, as coincidence would have it, they were both Catholics. Both officers were Catholics who believe in Christ, the sacraments, the church, and everything else the church believes. He said he remembers a call came out, which was not a big deal, and he told the other officer, he said, okay, I'll be back in a second. And this is not unusual, Jess. People do that all the time. I'll be back here in a minute. The other officer ended up following him, and he remembered thinking, oh, why is this guy following me? I've got this. And that's typical as well, right? Typical cop stuff. I'll be back in a minute. I'll take care of this. And I don't need any backup for this call. But as it turns out, Jess, I think it was very good that he did go with him. This is what happened. He says they both turned into the parking lot, which is attached to two businesses, the Starbucks to the left and an eye doctor to the right, separated by about 100 feet of parking lot. He drove in towards the Starbucks and his colleague toward the eye doctor. So the two cars go in the same driveway, they go to different directions. He did a perimeter lap around the Starbucks, shining a spotlight around the exterior bushes and surrounding areas. He didn't see anybody. I took another lap around and pulled up in front of the dumpster to take a closer look to see if maybe he was hiding within the dumpster. At that point, he heard his colleague on the radio yelled, "Dan, he's running right at you." He said he backed up to get a view of the area and saw a male running at his police car. It was very strange. He was running at his car, but not like a normal person. He looked like an animal. I can say only that it was like a monkey or gorilla hunched forward. Very odd. The hair on his neck stood up, and he slowly backed his patrol car up as he was running at him. So this officer's backing his car up as he sees this thing running toward him. He says, he yelled out the window. He says, "You better stop." Okay. The male stopped running and began to walk at him. But it was a walk with a purpose, not like, "What's up?" I got out of my car, he says, the officer did, and told him to stop, which he did once he was about 10 feet away. It was very odd. His skin looked gray and like a dead body, which I'm very familiar with seeing. We're going to get into this in a minute, Jess. We're going to talk about it. The skin also looked scaly, hard to describe, and his eyes were black. He spoke like a snake, hard to describe other than that. Okay. The second officer pulled up. I spoke with the male, and he answered all my questions, but it was strange. When I checked his name, there was no record of him, and we are a small community. I had never dealt with him. So you figure that somebody in this small town, you run their name, there's some kind of record. There was none. After a few minutes of questioning, he told him to leave the area. He told me there was one thing left to do. He had to get his stuff. I asked him, "Where's your stuff?" He said, "It's over there." And he motioned to the front of the building. So the other officer and I looked at each other and then followed the male. At this point, the officer said, "I really thought he was going to try something insane, and I was getting ready to draw my pistol." The male walked to the front of the Starbucks by the bushes and grabbed the plastic bag. Now, at that point, he started to walk towards the street and still had that odd animal gait, gray skin, and black eyes. Just before he reached the street, he turned around and walked directly at the officer. I remember thinking, why won't he just leave? He stopped and asked him, do you believe, you police, that judges are greater than God? It was with a very odd snake way of speaking is the only way he could describe it. He says, the officer says, I swear I don't know what happened at that point, but an answer came out of him that he said it wasn't him speaking, but he said, no one is greater than he who created us. Now, the officer freely admits he doesn't speak that way, Jesse. He doesn't normally speak that way, and he was shocked that it had come out of him. After I said this, the male changed. He looked at me sideways and smirked and then laughed. His skin turned tan, and he walked upright like you and I to the street in a completely different way than he had previously walked. It was unbelievable. I looked at the other officer, and he said, what was that? The other officer stated, now that dude was 100% possessed. After the male left the area about a minute later, a sergeant came on scene from the same direction that the male left from. And he asked him, did you see that guy? And the sergeant says, I didn't see anybody. It's dead out there. I've been doing this for a while, and it was the closest to the pure demonic evil I've ever seen. All cops arrest bad people for all kinds of things. This was real evil, and I was freaked out. I still get the chills. He says, praise God for his mercy. We got to break this down a little bit, Jess, because this is very, you know, there's a lot to be said about it.
Yeah, this is Officer Dan Habshi. Yeah. He's from a deputy sheriff in upstate New York. Eddie, and what he encountered, and there's a term now that's used by exorcists that I didn't know, you know, years ago. It's more the new term that's used. It's called demonized. Demonized. It encompasses a lot of categories. People that are demonically obsessed, oppressed, can be possessed. People that are just vexed or tormented or harassed or molested or annoyed. This person here, without a doubt, had some type of diabolical, was demonized. And this officer, what he sees this guy looks like a snake. And I'll tell you, two giveaways that this guy was demonized. Number one, the way he was walking, demonized people. Because what do demons try to do to human beings? Well, exorcists tell us that what they try to do is they try to make your body, reduce your body to a beast-like state. They want to make you act like an animal. That's what they do when they manifest in possession. And that's what they do when people are demonized. They try to make you act like an animal. Crawl on your stomach, get on all fours, howl, bark. So this person that was walking like a gorilla, this person was demonized. This was a manifestation of a demon that had taken over this human person. And another thing that tells me that this guy was demonized, maybe even possessed, where the officer says that his eyes were black. Yep. There's two things you'll see in possession. Either the person's eyes are white, and the pupil and the iris are gone. They're up all the way, and you just see the whites of their eyes. They're in a trance. Or the eye will be completely black. Pupil and iris, everything's black. And it's just a deep charcoal black like evil. So the fact that he saw this without even, you know, consulting the exorcist of manuals, it indicates to me that he saw somebody who was demonized, maybe even fully possessed.
Jess, I think that, you know, these are classic symptoms of demonic manifestation that sometimes occur during a minor or major exorcism, but not usually in public. I believe this officer saw this individual as he was manifesting, and that's when the encounter began. I wonder if this person, Jess, who, if possessed, was so demonized that began to manifest at the presence of what he knew was a good and benevolent soul. So you have two Catholic officers. You have them in a police car. It's a symbol of authority. All these things, Jess, can affect somebody and cause them to either manifest and what he perceived to be a centurion of God, Jess, a centurion of God. Let's remember what the Bible says in Romans 13. This is the first Bible verse I ever memorized. It says, let every person be subordinate to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority opposes what God has appointed, and those who oppose it will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear to good conduct, but to evil. Do you wish to have no fear of authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive approval from it. For it is a servant of God for your good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword without purpose. It is a servant of God to inflict wrath on the evildoer. Jess, I think that this is a good thing there was two officers there, but I think that this is what happened, that this guy manifested when he saw two benevolent Catholic officers approaching him, and this is what happened.
Yeah, especially if they were practicing Catholics in a state of grace, and they already have the authority from God based on their office. And so you're right, Eddie, if this guy is demonized, the presence of these two officers in a state of grace, having the symbol of God's authority, triggered the demon to manifest. And it's classic. Two of the classic signs of demonic manifestation are the fact that he starts walking like a gorilla hunched over, which that's a classic sign of manifestation. And he also says his eyes were pitch black, which is another classic sign of manifestation. And by the way, when the eyes are black, that usually indicates a violent demon. You'll find that the person's about to start punching or scratching or spitting. When the person goes into a trance, when the eyes are white, that's usually a mute demon. They're trying to kind of block the prayers of the priest and everybody else that's there. They're trying to just tune everybody out. But the person's more peaceful. But when the eyes are black, all I can say is the fight's just, it's about to start.
Yeah, Jess, you know what? You and I have seen those black guys on a couple of occasions.
The black and the white.
The black both. And the white, but the
and
black.
And that's the reaction. One is violent and one is mute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And we have to remember, just that when this officer encountered this individual, I think it's important to keep in mind that the individual at some point during the encounter knew that he was free to go. He was no longer detained, right? And most people no longer desire to converse or engage with the police at that point in the contact. They're usually want to shut up and go. But this guy, he wanted to get the bag of stuff. He wanted to ask him just one more question. And it had to do with God. And he got the proper answer, Jess, that's for sure.
Yeah. That officer gave, the Holy Spirit spoke through him.
That's right.
He said something like,
no one is greater than he who created us.
Yeah, bam. That's he basically paraphrased 1 John 4:4, which he gave this demonized person the word of God, and that's good. That's the way you defend yourself.
That's it. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Responsorial Psalm 33, Lord, let your mercy be on us as we place our trust in you. Eddie, we want to move to another topic. This is a topic that had my head scratching when I read the article yesterday, and we want to interact with this article and just ask questions. I mean, there's some things here that just it makes me say, is this microphone on? The article's called Vatican Assembles Avengers of Religion to Beat the Devil. I like that. The fact that the Vatican is, taking exorcism serious, that's very good. But here's some of the problems that I have. It says here, okay, so who are these Avengers of Religion? It says here, the article, witch doctors, soothsayers, and even Protestants are welcome at the Vatican's 14th annual exorcist conference. Okay, let me check some. Is this microphone on? Let me check. Okay, yeah, it's on. What? Now, it looks to me, this is my take, it looks to me like these are some modernist infiltrators that are now running the conference. Why would any Catholic priest invite a witch doctor, a soothsayer, and Protestants at the... Now, I can see if they're going to come as presenters so we can see, okay, let's see what this kooky witch doctor has to say so we know how to combat all his spells and hexes. But as I read the article, Eddie, it seems to me like if they're attendees, that's what it seems to me. It says here...
Yeah, they're taking the course, Jess. They're actually going to take... They're going to get the secrets of... the Catholic secrets of exorcism and disperse it to those who are in the devil's camp. That doesn't make sense.
I'm pounding my forehead, Eddie. I'm pounding my forehead. I mean, this is at the very famous Vatican Pontifical Athenaeum Regina Apostolorum in the outskirts of Rome. It says here, 240 specialists in Satan have gathered for this 14th annual course on exorcism and prayers of liberation, which is sponsored by the Vatican and blessed by Pope Francis. It says here again, this year for the first time here, this paragraph just almost jumped out of my shoes.
Yeah, read the beginning again, Jess.
This year, for the first time ever, here it is, the first time ever. See, no, this is not Vatican exorcism protocol.
Right.
But
this is not the ancient rite.
It says, for the first time ever, the Vatican has invited those from other religions who do a daily battle with the devil. In my take, they are part of the devil, but I'm just reading the article. It says, there are witch doctors, high priests, and even Protestants on tap. There are also law enforcement officials who will try to provide warning signs when someone might be faking diabolical possession to get out of legal trouble. And there are more psychologists speaking than in previous years. These outsiders are here to guide priests who might otherwise blame the devil's work for serious crimes and mental illness. Here's my take. Coincidence? I don't think so. Here we go again. This to me is modernism on full display. Okay? This is ecumenism gone wild. We're trusting more in psychology, and that was our problem with since 2002, since these sexual scandals. We're trusting in psychology rather than theology, which is the queen of sciences, and we're allowing witch doctors and high priests. My question is, Eddie, high priest from what religion? I'll tell you why, because the Jews don't have no high priest. So these aren't Jewish high priests coming. And Catholics, we don't have high priests. So what high priests are coming to this Vatican conference? The only other religion that I know of that uses that term high priest, because Jews presently don't have a high priest because they don't have a temple. Until they get build a temple, they'll get a high priest again. So they don't have a high priest. Catholics don't have a high priest. Satanists have high priests. Am I reading this correctly? Are Satanists, satanic high priests being invited to this conference? Eddie, all I can say is I think the wolves right now are gathering, are guarding the hen house.
Jess, let's take one Bible verse, just one, from Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 12. This is what it says. All sorcery, interpretations of omens, witchcraft, cast spells, mediums or spiritualists, or consults the dead is detestable to God. What is something detestable to God just doing in the headquarters at the in Rome? how can you? I don't see how they can justify that, Jess. There's something fishy in Denmark here, man. There's something that doesn't smell right. Doesn't pass a smell test. I'm sorry to say.
Eddie, the next paragraph says, okay, now are these Catholics or pagans? It says here, speakers from Nigeria are discussing the black magic juju curse that is so often used to manipulate and keep women in slavery. A speaker from the Philippines will discuss the Aswang spirit, which we reject both these spirits in Jesus' name, and its hold over superstitious Catholics in that country. There's even a Brazilian psychologist on tap to describe
another psychologist.
The
beast. Another psychologist.
Yeah. To describe the bestial best of Pharaoh, who we reject in Jesus' name, that has tempted so many Christians away from their faith. So here's my question as I read this article. Are these Catholic presenters presenting to the audience on how to avoid these things or the danger of these things called the juju curse and these bestial spirits and this the one? Are these Catholic presenters or are these pagans? I don't understand you because it's not the article isn't quite clear. It says Catholics are by no means the only Christians who have developed methods to help possess people or to rid a space of evil spirits, says Father Pedro Barajon, an exorcist from Spain who's in charge of programming at the conference. I think he's the problem. With all due respect, I don't know this man, but I would take him on. Look at what he just said here, Eddie.
Yeah.
Catholics are by no means the only Christians who have developed methods to help possess people or to rid a space of evil spirits. Father Pedro doesn't know much history because the only people that have that we've recognized as exorcists before the Catholic Church are the Jews. The Catholic historians and Catholic scholars recognize that the Jews did have 1,000 years of exorcists stemming from Solomon. But before that, everybody else who's tried to cast out spirits, these pagans are empowered by the devil. We don't recognize anybody else other than the Jews that had a bona fide exorcism ministry. And now it's the Catholic Church that has it because we have the fullness of truth. So the mantle of authority that the Jews may have had, that's gone. Because now we cast out spirits, evil spirits in Jesus' name, the Catholic Church. So when this priest says that we're by means not the only Christians who develop methods to help possess people or to rid a space of evil spirits, I beg to differ, Father, we are. Whatever Protestants do in their healing and deliverance, whatever they do, they borrow from Catholicism.
Yep.
They plagiarize Catholicism. They haven't invented anything because the Catholic exorcism has been around for 1,500 years before Luther rebelled from the church. And so whatever Protestants do right now in evangelical or Baptist churches or whatever, they've tried to plagiarize from their Catholic patrimony.
Jess, this is really, like you said, I just bang my head against a wall on this stuff. So does anybody in the Vatican, especially Father Barajon here, does everybody say, hey, listen, is it possible that somebody that's a Satanist or a witch doctor or a soothsayer might come to this conference and give us erroneous information on how to handle a spirit like that? I mean, are we to think that they're going to be totally like just the facts and just give the facts of this case in Spain or Philippines, etc., and not try to sneak in some kind of information that's going to weaken the ability of Catholic Church to cast out demons? This is all wrong, Jess. This is entirely off. It's wrong. And I don't know what should be done about it, but I'll tell you what, I would never want somebody trained in this conference to come and deal with somebody in my family that's vexed or haunted or whatever you might say.
Exactly. And this is why, There is any kind of a rift right now amongst exorcists because you see this very ecumenical spirit here with this Father Pedro Barajon, this exorcist from Spain, and all the people he's inviting. But you have in our country, you have more hardline exorcists that'll, when they do these conferences, it's only Catholic speakers, Catholic priests, Catholic presenters, and nobody else. No Protestants, no pagans. And so to me, as I read this article, collaborating with pagans and false religions and religions that don't possess the fullness of truth, what the heck can we learn from them? If anything, all they're going to do is just come in and they're going to teach. Well, first of all, they're going to try to, you know, learn the Catholic art of how to be of exorcism so they can combat it. And number two, they're probably going to be putting out false information to try to make us, you know, go down a rabbit hole and not really learn their secrets. I just don't see any benefit of a, something so specialized, because this is SWAT training right here, Eddie, with what this conference is. I don't see it would be like a typical sheriff or police department SWAT team, and you bring the Boy Scouts to come and teach them, you know, how to shoot guns.
Just, I'm going to be very cynical here. I'm sorry. That's just my nature. But this is also my reaction to this. Here's the next paragraph. It says, while it may be incredibly hard for the unanointed to take an exorcism conference seriously, those in attendance certainly do. The week-long event costs $450 with room and board. I mean, how many
people? Without room and board.
Without room and board.
That's just a fee.
Just a fee to go in. Oh, yeah. You know, this is, look, Jess, the reality is, that we have now, you know how the smoke of Satan has entered the church? This is Satan entering the church. We're now, there's no crack in the door now, just the thing has been flung open. We're letting the enemy come in. And yeah, I think, you know, unless it's, well, you know, just there's also a possibility, we should say, right? There's also a possibility that.
Okay, Father, what's the bright side? What's the bright side
here? Well, I'm not sure if it's real, but I'll tell you. Maybe they just want to get all the soothsayers and the witch doctors in here and do an exorcism of them in there. But I don't think so. This is actually a conference. And so that's why I'm saying, Jess, you know, there's nothing to learn from somebody that is in the devil's camp. And yeah, we have to be done with this. But let's keep going. Go ahead.
Yeah. It says, while certain panels are limited to train exorcists, those will deal with the finer points of restraint and deciphering when a possessed person speaks in tongues. This year's teachers, psychologists, and social workers are in attendance to learn how to give the devil the kind of treatment he's due. What? My question is, what kind of treatment can teachers, psychologists, and social workers give the devil? I don't even understand that question.
Okay, we'll be right back. We'll be right back with Jesus 911. Stay with us. Thank you.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, we got two guys in a two-man car here pounding our forehead as we read this article. Eddie, this is the equivalent of, let's just say, SWAT and narcotics are about to serve a search warrant on the Crips or the Mexican Mafia or the Hell's Angels, and you bring in the Hell's Angels, the Crips, and the Mexican Mafia to sit in briefing right before narcotics and SWAT are going to serve a search warrant. This is the equivalent of that, Eddie. You bring the enemy right into roll call and briefing in the Vatican so they can learn our 2,000-year-old secrets, and they can learn how to deflect it, or they can go back to their occult religions and pagan communes and tell everybody, hey, we got this dope straight from the Vatican.
Jess, they have people here that are actually going to instruct at this conference that have been on the other side. So it's like having the Hell's Angel stand up and tell them where they're going to be. Tell them, you're going to be here, you're going to be there, and formulate the what we need to get into this house that we're going to do a search warrant. It just doesn't make common sense, Jess. Where's the common sense here? I don't see it. I don't think there is any. I think it's demonic.
Just the like words. The words of Pope Paul VI. What you just said in 1974. He said the smoke of Satan has come into the church, even into the sanctuary. And this is a classic example of what Pope Paul VI said prophetically. The devil has penetrated the highest parts of the church, even our Vatican exorcism conferences. Let me just mention that I'm going to be before we continue this article. August 2nd and 3rd at the Church Militant Men's Conference. It's going to be in Dearborn, Michigan. I'll be speaking out there with Doug Barry, Michael.
Michael Vorse.
So if you want more information, go to my website, jesseromero.com, or go to his website, Church Militant. That's August 2nd and 3rd, Church Militant Men's Conference. Eddie, the article says here, the organizers stress that they only want those who truly believe in their work. It says, we don't open it to everyone. Obviously, Father Barajon says, and then my question is, Father, then why you open it to witch doctors and to high priests? Okay? Yeah. Who you're inviting contradicts what you were just saying. Father Barajon says, he's the organizer. He says, that would open us up to being infiltrated by devil worshipers, not those trying to fight him. It's not something we think should be taken lightly. So here's my question, okay? Okay, so you're saying you don't want to open up to devil worshipers. I get it. Well, what do you think witch doctors are, Father? Okay, you've opened up this conference to witch doctors and high priests. High priests from where? There's no Jewish high priest or Catholic high priest. There are satanic high priests. Is that what you're referring to? Eddie, this just gives me a heartburn.
Jess, it is kind of interesting, and we did a story on it last month, and I just remembered right now, that the Pope was in a, I'm not sure what it was. It was something where they had some Native Americans from Latin America or Mexico who actually, he let them touch him and do something to him. The thought comes to my mind.
We'll have to bring up this article again, but I remember what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because it was all over the internet.
Yeah, it was all over the internet. We did a show on it. I remember seeing the pictures of the Pope interacting with these shamans and some cardinals as well. And I just think, my gosh, what's happening that we're letting the enemy take over? Jess, now people are looking at the headquarters differently. At least I would be. I'm not excited to go to Rome anymore, Jess. I mean, to know this is what's behind the doors of the Vatican is something that I'm not encouraged to go see right now. I'd rather go to you know, some other places,
some other Marian shrine,
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, this is very
and
troubling.
Rome's not real appealing right now.
No, it's not. go ahead.
Yeah, let's continue. It says, exorcisms are an integral part of the Roman Catholic Church, which has trained and certified 404 full exorcists and 124 exorcist assistants worldwide. That's good. Exorcisms are performed regularly in dioceses throughout the world, and in most cases, when a diocese does not have a Vatican-trained exorcist nearby, the Vatican will send someone to help. If they can't, exorcisms can be guided by phone or even video conference. So that's something interesting that I have read articles that they're starting to do phone exorcisms and video conference. So it makes sense to me, but I feel sorry for the person on the other side. If they're manifesting and nobody's holding them down, they could be flopping around the floor and slamming their head or something.
Well, Jess, also, you know, along with that, you know, we know that the demons can control electronic impulses here and there, and now you're going to trust a phone or video conference. I think you're rolling the dice with these. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, that's true, because demons can use cell phones to call you, and I know people that have been called by demons, possessed people.
That's right.
And they're called by demons on their cell phones.
That's right.
And they're harassed through their cell phones. So that is a fact. It says an umbrella group called the International Association of Exorcists, which is also Vatican-backed, has 200 card-carrying members from the Catholic, Anglican, and Eastern Orthodox churches, many of whom are in attendance at the conference in Rome. That's the organization, by the way, that was started by Father Morth. And I hope it stays faithful. That's all
right.
I can say.
Exactly.
It says in Italy, where some 500,000 people a year ask for exorcisms or prayers of liberation from evil spirits, there are special priests like Father Benino Palilli in Sicily on hand to train exorcists. And he told the Daily Beast that it is not just Catholics who ask for exorcisms in Italy. We have, over the years, had an increasing number of Nigerian refugees inflicted by the Juju curse, he says. We have also seen a recent surge in the interest in witchcraft and the occult, which we believe can be exorcised. And by the way, the fact is, there's also articles that show that there's the rise of Muslims seeking Catholic priests over in the Middle East and in Africa to do exorcisms and healings and deliverance. So even Muslims are realizing that their imams don't have what it takes to cure them from possession. And it says, devil possessions are not the stuff of movies, says Father Barahon, who readily admits that pop culture has made the whole thing seem slightly romantic. There's never head spinning or levitation or that sort of thing. I'll take issue with one thing. Head spinning's never been chronicled in the Catholic faith, so far as I've read, and I'm pretty well read in this area. But levitation is something that has been chronicled many times in full possession. So I don't know why he said that, because levitation is something that it's not common, but it has happened, and I know priests that have seen it. He says, but you have people with abnormal body strength, or they vomit, or they suddenly speak a language they had never spoken. The most common tongues, he says, are Latin and Hebrew. So yeah, that seems to be the most common traits of somebody who's demonized. Eddie?
Just so Father, there's another Father Aneni from Nigeria, who says exorcism is not a one size fits all. You have to understand the nature of the devil you are fighting, right? He says the exorcism rite prescribed by the Roman Catholic Church calls for the exorcist to go to confession first, lest he inflict the possessed with his own sins. Then the ceremony starts similarly to other Catholic rituals, with ample sprinkling of holy water and the recital of the litany of the saints. Then it gets real. And he says, I command you, unclean spirit, whoever you are, along with all your minions, now attacking this servant of God. The priest says this before commanding the devil to leave the possessed person, according to the Catholic catechism book. The part seducer, full of lies and cunning, foe of virtue, persecutor of the innocent, give place, abominable creature, give way, you monster, give way to Christ, in whom you found none of your works. And this is what the priest says. The commands for the devil to go get stronger as the exorcism wears on, while the exorcist works to calm the person on whom he is performing the ritual, frequently laying his hands on the afflicted. Restraints are used if necessary. If it doesn't work, the exorcist will return as often as necessary to perform the rite again. Barrajon says, internet pornography, pedophilia, and the occult are seen as byproducts of devil possession. Jess, now, we have sorcerers, we have witch doctors, we have, you know, other people involved in this who I've been told, when you're into the occult, you're into internet pornography. You're that's one of the things that you do. Now, nobody says this, nobody talks about it, but it's true. So my question is, how can you use somebody who is into the things you're trying to cleanse the afflicted person of? That's very, very interesting to me.
Yeah, again, Eddie, my head's spinning as I read this article. Yeah. It seems like if Father Barrajon wants to do a good thing with these conferences, but he's inviting all the wrong people. This should be a closed session of Catholic priests and serious Catholic lay people. And so, again, I just don't understand why he's allowing all these occultists to come in. It says here, the week-long conference wraps up with a roundtable during which all the participants will be invited to share methodology. What? Methodology from witch doctors, from high priests? Are you kidding? Wow. It says, you know, to share their methodology, tips to help determine what works and what doesn't. Well, I know what doesn't work, occult practices, because they're drawing from the devil. I know what does work is tried and tested Catholic practices, starting with the rite. And it says that during the week, there are several panels dedicated to it. Yeah, you read that. So it says, when asked if the current clerical sex abuse crisis that has wrought at the core of the Catholic Church is on the agenda at this exorcism conference, organizers like Father Barrajon shrugged and said that the conference is about something entirely different. I beg to differ with Father. I think this is part and parcel of the problem as to why people, possession and people being demonized is on the rise. It's because of, specifically because of the sixth and ninth commandment, not only amongst lay people, even amongst the clergy. And it says here, clerical sex abuse has for decades been considered a sin that can be forgiven. Only recently have church leaders, including Pope Francis, called it what it is, a crime. Clerical sex abuse is not specifically on the agenda at this edition of this exorcism conference. It should be, Eddie. I'll tell you why. Father Malachi Martin, rest in peace. He says that diabolical sex crimes were committed in the Vatican. You also have church militant. They just obtained a letter last week from the secret files of the Archdiocese of Chicago that deceased Cardinal Joseph Bernardine was involved in homosexual diabolical sex liturgies with young men. That's a fact that the Archdiocese of Chicago, they've been hiding this document for 40 years. They didn't give it to their attorney general. We also know Father Gabriel Amor, the Vatican, who rests in peace. He said the Vatican needed an exorcism. He said that. There's articles that say that. He said there's diabolical stuff happening inside. And then remember, we also had a drug-fueled sex orgy in the Vatican, 150 feet away from where the Pope's living quarters, where many clergy were arrested in a raid by the Italian law enforcement. I beg to differ with Father Barrajon. The problem is the sixth and ninth commandment, the devil of perversion, sexual perversion. Eddie?
Yes, could this all be a smoke and mirrors? Let's bring in the witch doctors and the soothsayers to switch the focus from what's really happening here at the Vatican. I don't know. Very, very disheartening news.
Bait and switch.
Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today, Jesus 911. Continue listening to Jesus 911 right now, Gary Machuda on Hands on Apologetics. He's coming up next. Thank you, and we'll be with you tomorrow. Be careful. God bless you.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.